Welcome to the Be Moved and Bloom podcast. If you're ready to dive deep, find incredible inspiration, and let yourself bloom into who you're truly meant to be, you're in the right place. Here you'll find transformational stories, spiritual tools, and practical wisdom to help you be your best self. Get ready to be moved and bloom. Author. She's a leader in the field of worthiness and the divine feminine. As a somatic healer and channel for light language, Meg helps others to activate their own healing capacity through embodied movement, soul clarity work, and so much more. Her online Kundalini-inspired membership, The Lotus Collective, has welcomed hundreds of students from across the world to discover their truest selves. Meg also leads retreats and transformational experiences and continuously brings her wisdom of manifestation, meditation, and well-being to wellness publications, podcasts, and mindfulness-based events around the world. As a passionate advocate for body positivity and vulnerability, Meg openly shares her journey navigating insecurities and self-worth while embracing the softer side of life. Above all, Meg is most proud of her role as a wife, a mama, and a friend. You can find everything she's up to at megsylvester.com, on Instagram at megsylvester, and also on her podcast, Manifest Miracles. Her book, The Body Positivity Journal, is available right now on Amazon and everywhere books are sold. So without further ado, Meg, welcome to the show. You can find everything she's up to at megsylvester.com, on Instagram, a Meg Sylvester, and also on her podcast, Manifest Miracles. Her book, The Body Positivity Journal, is available right now on Amazon and everywhere books are sold. So without further ado, Meg, welcome to the show.
Lifestyle, you know, ate a lot of processed foods. I did grow up with two very loving and supportive parents, and my little brother had a great relationship with him. But yeah, it was very much like standard American lifestyle. And, I, you know, grew up looking at my parents who both very much, were happy or are very grounded in their careers. And my little brother, like, basically came out of the womb knowing exactly what he wanted to do. And I was always kind of like this lost sheep. You know, I had no idea. I very firmly believed in this idea that we all have a purpose and we all have a mission. That was just very, just known within me from a very young age. But I was also very hooked on this idea that I would never find my purpose, that I was going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying, but nothing would feel good, you know? And so I switched my major in college several times and always had these like little mini, you know, anxiety attacks of like, no, this is not what I want to do. This is not what I want to do. And so then I would change my major again. And then I finally ended up, selecting the major that what my mom did with her career, a speech pathologist. And then I minored in what my dad did with his, you know, what his career was. He was an attorney. So I minored in political science.
Wow.
And both of those, I was like, I don't really want to do these, but I feel like I should probably finish college and, you know, like, so I can get on with living, whatever that means. And graduated from university and was like, oh shit, what am I supposed to do? Like, I can't just like throw myself into a life. I don't know who I am or what I want to do. So I set out and moved to, I moved overseas. I moved to Thailand. I worked in a wildlife refuge center, backpacked for a long time, trying to quote unquote find myself. But mm-hmm. What happened is that I really just threw myself into the life that I knew. So it was just different country, same me, you know, like I was like going out to bars and there was no like contemplation, you know, it was just like, go. What is the task I'm supposed to be doing? And then let me go get drunk, you know? And so I just happened to be working with animals, which was incredible. And then I did the same thing, teaching English. So I moved all over the world teaching English, but still it was like, I was the details were different, but there wasn't anything inside of me shifting. Maybe there was, you know, but it wasn't until I moved back to the States, found my way up the corporate ladder. And I was at the point where I was like very high up in my corporate career. I was making the six figures. I was like literally driving a Mercedes and carrying a Louis Vuitton bag. You know, those things were like very important to me. And, you know, I was at a director level position in this corporate company, all very like wonderful people. You know, from the outside looking in, it was just like, yeah, she's doing it. Like she is quote unquote successful, you know?
Right.
But that deep knowingness within me of like, you have a purpose and this is not it, that really started to flare up in the form of physical dis-ease. So I started getting, really, really intense migraines multiple times a week, like keeping me in bed. I was on antidepressants. I had really painful cystic acne, chronic fatigue. I could not find a single doctor that could tell me what the fuck was wrong with me. I went to neurologists, got brain scans to see if I had brain tumors. It was intense. And I was, you know, I was only in my like late 20s, early 30s. And you know, I just knew like, there's no reason that I should be feeling this bad. Like I eat, you know, fairly healthy and, but I was like drinking all the time, you know, but that's never the reason that we're given for like not feeling well, you know, it's like living this like right. crazy 9-to-5 rat race life. You know, couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And eventually I was given a book, Grain Brain by Dr. David Perlmutter. And this was the first book that I ever read that really connected, food and mood and gut health and, you know, our mental, physical, emotional well-being. And that book changed my life. It helped me to go. Yeah. It helped me to go from feeling very disempowered, like that I needed to turn to an authority to tell me what was wrong with me and then give me the magic thing to fix me. And this book, it was like the first time that I was like, holy shit, like I can make decisions. I can eat this food and then monitor how it makes me feel. And then make empowered decisions on whether or not I want to continue eating that food for now, for the rest of my life, for a short time. And so it was like, I started being an active participant in my life, you know, and in my well-being. And yeah. That set me off on the road to leave my corporate job, start a functional medicine health coaching business. And that quickly morphed into spirituality, mindset, during that whole time of leaving my corporate job to, starting my coaching business, I, discovered Kundalini yoga a little bit before that. And that was like, opened that door of my heart, you know, like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, my soul gets it. I get it. You know, like this feels like home. And it feels like all of the codes that are helping to open me up to really sift and shift and be with those thoughts that I didn't know how to be with for the majority of my life. And, you know, again, just like inviting me to become an active participant in my life, in my own life, and not a zombie who is just like, ooh, you know, following that, like, yeah. You know, lure of the American dream, you know? And then, sorry, I know I'm talking a lot, but I'll finish in a second. yeah.
Amazing.
and then, yeah. So once I really started working on myself, once I really started recognizing that there was even such a thing called limiting beliefs, and it wasn't just me and like my personality, you know, really learning how to tune into my intuition and then take action based off of my intuition rather than my you know, the analysis, rationalization, Googling, like, well, how do I actually do that? Or like, how much money does it take to do this? You know? And so that is what led me to, become the authentic teacher that I am today, and to be able to offer experiences that no one has ever been to, you know, experiences that no one ever has experienced anything like it, because everything that I do now is an offering from my heart, from my soul, not based off of what anybody else is doing. It's just what has to flow and what has to come from my heart, or else those crazy migraines, that cystic acne, you know, that might come back. You know, because like the pressure of keeping my soul medicine in will manifest as inflammation, you know? So now I'm very committed and dedicated to, taking seriously the voice of my heart, the voice of my soul, and whatever wants to move through. I open up the space to let it move through, no matter if nobody else is doing it, or if it looks weird, or I don't give a shit anymore. Like I create from a space of authenticity, and I check my ego when it says, well, why don't you look and see how so-and-so is doing it? You know, and that just doesn't work for me. That's when I overcomplicate things, you know?
Yeah.
And who the hell needs complicated these days? Nobody.
There's too much of it.
It's too much. Well, yeah.
Wow, Meg, that is incredible. And it's so, God, everything you were saying, I was like, yes, yes, because it's so true. I had a similar experience with, you know, health issues physically. And yeah, it's so true how we just can't contain, like, our soul needs to express itself. And if we block it because of how we're taught how to block it, mm-hmm. yeah, it's going to make us sick.
Shit breaks.
Yeah. And I had a similar, like, my introduction to yoga was like very physical. And that was all I was, you know, interested in. And then it completely shifted. And here we are now.
Here we are.
So amazing. So as you said, you share from your heart, and it is true. Everyone listening, it's true. What Meg shares is completely unique. I've never experienced anything like it. And yeah, if you want to share a little bit about what you actually do in your offerings as far as embodied movement, sound, mm-hmm. I know you share Kundalini too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, living a life through a dogmatic lens really like effed me up, you know, like it's got to look like this. It's got to feel like this. You got to do this, 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 you got to wear this, you got to say this, you know, in order to be taken seriously, in order to be successful. And so anything that feels dogmatic is, or like systematized, it just doesn't sit well with me. So yeah. Kundalini yoga, if you have practiced Kundalini yoga, then you know there, it is very structured. There are lots of, you know, a kriya is essentially made of steps that you, ingredients, there, it's a recipe for a particular mm-hmm. outcome. And so it's like baking. If you follow these steps precisely, then you come out with the outcome, you know, that was promised. However, if you shift them up and mix them, then you're going to come out with like squishy bread, you know? And so it's an interesting dance to be someone who is fiercely committed to authenticity while teaching something like Kundalini yoga. So the way that I have connected embodiment and intuition and Kundalini yoga is by opening up my channels and letting spirit, letting angels, letting my highest self speak through while we are engaging in particular movements and exercises, so that spirit can, you know, let us know, hey, right now in this moment, while you're moving your body this way, this is what is being released. This is what is being alchemized, rather than just telling my students, all right, lift your arm up to a 60 degree angle and take deep breaths mm-hmm. and just trust, just do it. You know, it's like, no, you get to be an active participant in this. And then also I'm choosing music. I'm even down to the clothes that I wear, the words that I speak, the tone of my voice, it's all a very held experience, and it's all a very curated experience so that my students feel like they are participating in something magic, you know, and that the music is moving them, moving their breath. And then we move from Kundalini to very like embodied movement. So I always invite my students, okay, we're going to start out doing this one move, but then talk to your body and move in the way that your body is asking to move. Move authentically. Let this be an expression of your authentic, you know, nature right now in this moment. And that is where healing takes place. When you tune into your body and you move it in the way that your body needs to be moved at that time with a focused intention of what you want to expand, not necessarily what you even want to release, because then we're just focusing on what we want to release and we're calling more of that in. So it's like focus on your intention, focus on your activation, and move your body in a way that that activation, that intention wants to move through you. And through that, the denser energies will be released. And so the same thing goes with the sound immersions, the sound baths that I create. They are a natural extension of my heart. In fact, I had never been to a sound bath when I started doing sound baths. So I did sound baths for about a year before I even went to somebody else's. And amazing. Spirit actually moves me in this way a lot, to protect like the purity of my offerings. I'm kind of like kept away from, people that are doing similar things. It's all intentional, for me. Right? Yeah. It's not intentional, but it's just like, it's never like available for me, you know? and then all of a sudden it does become available. So yeah, with my sound immersions, they're kind of like a mixture of it's kind of like an interactive healing concert, if you will, like a transmission. And so working with the different frequencies of different, healing technologies. So the gong, the harmonium, the shruti box, the chimes, the crystal bowls, the drum, and my voice, and creating this like interactive experience for you to set your intention, to move your body, to feel that intention, and then to allow your highest self to filter the codes that are being transmitted through all these different modalities and receive and sift and shift and go on your own journey. And so a lot throughout the sound immersions, I'm inviting you to participate in particular breath work that, that I know through my training has, you know, can activate certain parts of the brain or the body. So different styles of breath, but that's also very in the moment. I'm tuning into what the energy of the collective, of the group, and to the downloads that I'm receiving. And so it is very interactive, not just with me and you, but me and you and spirit and the channels that are coming through, the council that I channel, you know, it is very much like an ecosystem that we're creating. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. It's wild, you know.
It's amazing.
And it's what's really interesting is like the use of my voice. Like I was never a singer. Would never sing in public. And now like playing the bowls were really asking me to just open up my throat and to just sing. And now the chanting and the blessings that are moving through my body, through my voice, are one of the most potent parts of the experience. And, you know, had I been like, no, like that's embarrassing. I'm not a singer. That's not who I am. That would have, oh my gosh, like it just, the experience wouldn't be the same at all, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
And isn't it amazing how like our voices activate once we, I mean, maybe it's not the case for everyone, but I was the same. Like I hated speaking. I like covered up my voice as much as I could. I used to be super shy. And then on my teacher training, the mantra singing that we did and that we participated in while we were moving through the postures, just cracked everything open. And now it's like my favorite part of it. Like it's, yeah, it's just so healing.
Yeah. Chanting is so, it's so healing. It is. If you are somebody who struggles with communicating either energetically or with your words, like if you're somebody who struggles with creating boundaries, clear boundaries, or who struggles with people pleasing, or who struggles with, like, you know, saying yes when you really mean no, or vice versa, chanting is such a powerful way to activate and nourish the throat chakra and to release any of those densities. And that could be chanting your own soul speak, you know, like just, you know, whatever, or chanting, chanting actual mantra. And the mantra, you know, when we chant mantra and we move our tongue in particular ways, it's activating different meridians and energy channels within the mouth, which then has a different effect on our higher glands, which then create physical, mental, and emotional and spiritual sensations. So that's why mantra, you know, that's why we say this mantra does this. It means this, right? Because it's literally working on the meridians that actually do that.
It's so amazing.
It's so amazing. So fascinating.
And I would love to get into, because in your sound immersion, and I know you do it in other modalities as well, the channeled language that you sing, that you call a light language, and I had never heard of this, and I would love to hear more about it.
Yeah. So this is another one of those things where it was like, I could choose to suppress this because it is so wild and so out there. And, you know, the fear of like, are people going to think I'm crazy? Are people going to judge me? You know, are people going to think I'm just making it up? For a while, even outweighed the excitement and enthusiasm that I had to actually share it. So I did keep it quite suppressed for and quite hidden for years. And the more I shared it, and the more feedback that I received, and people had such shared experiences with it, that it started to become like very undeniable that, okay, this is real, and it's actually healing and helping and supporting people. So who am I not to share it? You know? So several years ago, I was in a breathwork session, and this beautiful angel goddess with long red hair during the breathwork like appeared, and she was like, it's time. And I was like, for what? And at the end of the session, the facilitator asked, does anybody have anything they want to share? I did not have anything I wanted to share. However, my hand went up and I was like, no. You know, like try to put the hand down, the hand wouldn't go down. And so she was like, okay, Meg, you know, what would you like to share? And then out tumbled this language. And I had no idea. I didn't know what was going on, but it was like, my body was just like speaking this language. And I was vibrating like every, and then I finished and immediately it was like crying, was like, like could hardly breathe. And the people in the room then shared their experiences with what had just happened. And the things that they were telling me, there was a man saying like, I just came here because my wife like dragged me here. I'm not like really into all this stuff, but like, I don't know what just happened. Like I felt like cameras were flashing in my body. There was light everywhere. So just wild.
Wow.
And yeah. And so for a long time after that, I would experience this like pins and needles sensation in my mouth. And the only way to make it stop was by opening my mouth and just allowing this language to come forth and move through me. And then eventually I built up the courage to like do it for friends. And I would also do it in sound baths, but like I would like really elongate the syllables so that it sounded like I was just singing, you know, and it wasn't like an actual like language. So I would kind of hide it, you know? But essentially what it is, and this is with working with my mentor and tuning into like my highest self and just kind of, you know, doing the work to understand it more deeply. It is a language called Imola. It is an ancient Mesopotamian language, which, I had many lifetimes in. And it's a language that comes from the ocean. So the ocean sent this language down through brooks and streams to washerwomen who were working closely with the water, who were carrying the secret codes of the divine feminine. And so this language, when you hear it, it is very sensual. It is very primal. And it really awakens this, like the energy of the divine feminine. So it is, it's like sound healing. It's just my voice instead of a gong or a crystal, you know, it's the sound of the divine feminine. It's the sound of the language of the ocean. There's a lot of like Venus energy, the energy of Aphrodite. So all about just love and the energy of creation and this like sacred energy. And so what I always ask my attendees or my students to do is to simply receive it just as they would receive the sound of gong or music or whatever, and trust that their highest self knows how to take these codes and to filter them through, just like when you take a vitamin or if you take Tylenol, like, and you have a headache, the Tylenol knows like how to go to your head somehow. Right. And so it's the same with this, like, and you're not like, you don't actively participate in the Tylenol going to your head. You just take it. Right. But you're not like, I'm like, okay, Tylenol, here's your 20-step process. Activate, you know, you just take it, you receive it. So it's the same thing with Imbola. You just receive it and you trust that it is activating this energy of the divine, of the divine feminine, of the great softening, you know, of this activation of creativity and connection and intuition and sensuality and you know, this beautiful, sexy, sacred divine feminine within you, whether you are male or whether you identify as male or female or non-binary, it doesn't matter. And so the more and more I share it, the more and more potent, you know, it becomes. And it's really such a blessing to sit with my guests and attendees and students after they've received it and to just hear about their experiences and to really connect the dots of like, wow, like this is... It's so connected, you know, people who are experiencing it in different settings and different places in the world are telling me this essentially the same experience that someone else told me a year ago in Costa Rica, you know, like it's wild.
Wow.
It's so crazy.
It is wild. Yeah. That is amazing. I got chills when you were talking about the language. and that's, it's interesting that it comes from the ocean, because I, on that retreat, like, multiple times kept envisioning the ocean, like in the meditations and everything we were doing, because I'm obsessed with the ocean, but yeah, things were coming up. So incredible that you are such a channel for this. Have you heard of anyone else who channels language in that same way? Because it's completely new to me.
Yeah. So if you just really look up light language, you'll find people who channel, you know, different languages that kind of sound like the language that I channel. But you know, it's not the same. And what's interesting for me is that the language doesn't feel like it's coming and being downloaded into me. It feels like a faucet. And if I just turn it on, it's there. So this language is programmed within me. It's not something I am calling in and waiting for, which made me quite, you know, cynical, cynical is not the right word, suspicious. My ego was like, it's too easy. So this can't be real. You know, and like, how often do we do that? Like, we discredit our gifts and our natural abilities because it's too easy, you know, and it's like, no, man, this is how it should be. It's supposed to be easy. But anyway, I that's a tangent. Yeah. So light language, there are many people that channel light language. It might feel like what you experienced with me, or it might feel completely different. So, yeah.
Amazing. I guess, is it similar to channeling speaking in tongues, like in Christianity? Is that the same? I don't actually know.
I suppose I don't. Yeah. I don't know much about that. I know that that's like a very fiery energy. And I think it's like, I might be very wrong, but I think the speaking in tongues is like considered like bad or scary.
Okay. Or, yeah. Something it's that always needs to be scary. Healed.
But that is, you know, the story with most of organized religion, that if right. anything deviates from the path, then it's bad and needs to be fixed. But yeah, I'm not entirely sure. So, you know, it's just the lens probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's incredible to hear about your, yeah, the light language. And there's so many tangents I know that we could go off on. I wanted to talk about your, because you mentioned that you grew up as a ballerina and struggled with body image issues. And that is obviously something that's so common. I was the same way. And yeah, if you could talk about your journey and your incredible book that just came out to help yeah. people with body acceptance.
Yeah. So, you know, I am a female who owns a human body. So therefore I have struggled with body image issues.
right.
You know, I understand male and non-binary also struggle with body image issues, but boy, oh boy, is it, is there a lot of toxic messaging out there when it comes to the female body and how it's supposed to look and yeah. how, you know, certain bodies, are praised and certain bodies are, shamed. And the body positivity movement actually was initiated, through the fat acceptance movement, back in the 70s, for prejudice and, poor treatment, for, you know, plus size bodies. And from there, the movement, you know, went to essentially say that all bodies are good bodies, you know, regardless of orientation, of abilities, of race, of size, shape, gender. And so my experience with body image, you know, went from feeling like I had to have the perfect body and would do anything that I could. I remember I used to, you know, during high school, I would, instead of eating, I would chew on a plastic straw, or just eat a bowl of lettuce, you know, but like, yeah. I didn't see anything wrong with that, you know?
It's like we were being like clever and cheating the system by doing
yeah,
stuff like that, right?
Like, right. Yeah.
Almost my trick.
Like praised, you know, by mm-hmm. like peers and, you know, and like always, of course, we're praised when we lose weight, but never when we gain weight, you know, and it's like, it's
definitely.
Just such a, you know, mind fuck. But after I had my third baby, I gained a lot of weight and that's okay. You know, I was pregnant. That's okay. And I wasn't like fighting that. I was, you know, eating my chocolate croissants and potatoes and was happy, you know? and then I had the baby and was like, oh my God, I didn't recognize my body. And, you know, by the time I had my third son, I was very, very much into conscious awareness and self-love and compassion. And, you know, I had been working on myself for many, many years. I was very aware of the ego and ego complex and constructs and, you know, societal constructs and how they impact us, but never had I ever been so fully immersed into a new situation that was really all about self and how I felt about myself. And so really learning to accept my body first and foremost, not love my body, but come into a space of acceptance. And that was really hard. So I start, because there's so much after you have a baby, and this is, you know, this book was not written for just postpartum, you know, it's for everybody. It's like, you know, owner's manual for body owners. But you know, it's like you have a baby, and then there's all these things that are like, I love my stretch marks. I love my this, I love my that, you know, or, and it's like, no, how are we supposed to go from this world that says, your body needs to look like this, you need to be able to wear this, you need to be able to do this, to all of a sudden just like shifting and like pivoting and being like, well, now I love it, you know, but right. Not for too long, because all the magazines tell us that we need to snap back and bounce back at, you know, like 12 weeks. And so I just started really, really becoming fascinated with the bigger message at hand, the societal constructs, mass media, marketing, why we even think that we need to love a squishy stomach. Like, it's the bigger picture. It's not just like, oh, I love this part of my body that's hard to love. It's like, no, why is it even hard to love? Like, yeah. who designated that? Because it wasn't me and it wasn't my other sisters. Like, where is this bullshit coming from? You know? So I got very, very interested and like just started going down a rabbit hole, and then was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to do my part to try to break these constructs and to get us thinking in new ways. Cause like I said, it's not just about like, I'm going to love this part of me that's hard to love. No, it's saying, why is this hard to love? Who said that?
Who told you that? Yeah.
Who told me that? Who perpetuated this bullshit lie? You know? And so I shared so much. I was just sharing so much, so much, so much, that I actually had a publisher reach out to me and said, hey, we want to publish a book on the body positivity journey, and we would like you to write it. And incredible. So this was a manifestation of mine, because, you know, I've always wanted to write a book. I just, I'm so multi-passionate. I was like, I don't even know where to start, you know? And then Spirit was like, start here, you know? So the body positivity journal, which is exactly what I needed and exactly what I took myself through to get to a space of accepting my body, and a big F you to the societal constructs that even put that pressure on me in the first place. And so the journal is a 6 section experience. Each section is devoted to a different facet and theme along the body acceptance journey, like societal constructs or self-compassion, you know, different steps like that. And then within each section are really super thought-provoking journal prompts. There's also activities. I even pull in some like Kundalini meditations and breath work. There are like what I call in the book, real talk testimonials, where I went out and chatted with people about how they feel about their bodies. And it's not like framed in the Pollyanna, like, I was sad and now I'm good. You know, it's like, no, like let's connect as a global community and just talk very frankly and transparently about where you are with your body acceptance journey. And I did this because, well, you know, when we're on retreats and people share just how they're feeling without magic trying happens. To like put some moral around it, or, you know, like it's so comforting to know you're not alone. So the journal has that. There's also affirmations that I created that are very like realistic and grounding affirmations. And then also some really beautiful quotes from, you know, thought leaders. And so, yeah, it's just a really beautiful experience for anybody that wants to free up the creative space in their heart and their body and their mind and their spirit that has been fixated on body image. And it's like, there's so much shit going on in the world. We need everybody to step up into who they truly are and to shine their light massively and powerfully. And worrying about body image is just how the system keeps us quiet and oppressed. You know, like,
it's so true.
We got to move on from that. We got to move on. We've got bigger things to do than worry about our waistline and how, you know, high our butt is. And like, it's ridiculous. Like we gotta move on. We got to move on from that. There's too much work.
We have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally. God. Oh yeah. I'm just like nodding at every single thing you're saying. It's so true. And I love, I love how real the book sound, like that you've actually made it like authentically real, not just now I love it, but
right.
Yeah.
And now I love your body because a book is telling you to.
Right. No, another thing you need to follow.
Right. Yeah. Right. Nope. Mm-mm.
But like body, even like body neutrality, even like that, because there's body positivity and then like the body neutrality movement of just like, literally, who the fuck cares what I look like at all? Like, there's other stuff going on. Like, I'm doing this, or like, this is happening. I need to help, or whatever.
That's a space that I was really guiding people towards in the book. But my publisher was like, people will search body positivity before they search body neutrality. Yeah. So we got to get this in the hands of many people. But I even addressed that in the book of like, hey, you know what? One of the hangups, one of the qualms with body positivity is that it's asking you to always be like super positive about your body. And sometimes it's putting the body at the center of the human experience. And like, let's move on from that. You know, let's just say like, yeah, like my body is it's wise and it's always talking and sending us messages, but like, it's not the center of your experience. And also we don't always have to love our bodies. You know, it doesn't have to be so charged. It can just be, it's just in a neutral space. Like, yeah, I got a body. It's not, like, it's helping me to live this human experience, you know? So
definitely. Yeah. But yeah, it definitely is like, you know, for most people, when we're coming from that negative view of our bodies, you got to make it positive before you can even level it out to that. So amazing. I can't wait to, I should have bought a copy there and then, but I, my head was elsewhere. I'm definitely going to order my copy and everyone listening, you should too.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Everyone needs this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And well, I mean, this just leads into what we were talking about earlier as well with the divine feminine and how, you know, how we need to bring in that element extremely urgently to break these systems of patriarchy that try to control us through, whether it's negative, spending all our time hating ourselves that we don't actually make any changes or, you know, all the other ways that it entrenches our lives. And I know you have a lot to talk about with the divine feminine.
Yeah. You know, and like, I always find it interesting, you know, when people say like the future is female, you know, and like, okay, of course I agree with that. But the answer is not just like females in the place of power. Mm-hmm. Like actually the future is the divine feminine, the future, the way to the future is through the path of the divine feminine. So what we don't want is just placing females in these roles once dominated by a male, and they're just simply reenacting those masculine structures. You know, like it's not about man versus woman or male versus female. It's about an energy that we all have within us, the energy of the masculine, the energy of the feminine. The energy of the masculine, when it is balanced and divine, is clarity, action, vitality, focus, progress, forward movement. And the energy of the divine feminine of the moon is deep intuition, knowingness, you know, integration, creativity. And when we bring these two together, this is the whole, right? This is the one. And right now we live in a society where that is definitely driven by the masculine energy, so much so that it has turned toxic. So we place progress over peace. We place profit over community. We place, you know, like analysis and rationalization much more so over intuition. I mean, is intuition taught in school? No. Is math and science? Yes. you know, and do our children get praised when they say, because I just know. No, they don't. Mm-mm. They get praised when they like, you know, spout off the facts and figures. So we're like, we're teaching our children that the masculine aspects are way more important than the feminine aspects. And in fact, the feminine aspects we're teaching them are silly and fanciful, you know, like trusting our intuition, you know, community, sisterhood, brotherhood, this tribal, you know, bartering and offering our gifts for trade, you know, like that's just seen as like ridiculous, you know, and we have got to get back to a place where these feminine qualities are not just raised within ourselves, but within our children, within our communities, within our schools, like all of these institutions that we put so much trust in. You know, I think one of the things that the state of the world currently is in because of this medical thing that's going on, shown us all of the institutions that are absolutely broken. They're absolutely broken. And you know, it's a call for us to say, how can we reorganize and restructure by like putting in more values from the feminine lens, you know? So yeah, the future is female, but the future more so is the divine feminine, you know, and it could take 1,000 years, you know, but who cares? It's worth it. You know, like yeah. We've got to start now. We've got to start honing in to our intuition, to taking our dreams seriously, to, you know, taking our dreams as seriously as we take taxes, you know, like our dreams are just as important, you know? So, and we've got to teach our children. We've got to teach the future generations that, you know, that's how we can make changes. And we make changes to society by, you know, by being kind, by being part of communities, you know, by not being so damn territorial. You know, like, look at how we drive. We're like, everyone is so like takes everything so personally because of the territory that they have created and the bubble around their car, you know, and the bubble around their home. And if like a dog poops in their yard, then they're infuriated. And it's like, oh my, it's everything is territorial and boxed off and competitive. And, you know, it's just this insane cycle. It's yeah. Insanity, you know, we've got to get out of it. People have to like think for themselves, you know, just think for yourself, like what feels good? Does this feel right for me? Or does it feel like I'm just a cog in a system, you know? And like, I'm not telling you to like stop wearing shoes and to move to a hippie commune, but like, honestly, wouldn't it be great if we could, if we did, if we all did? Just do what you can, you know, do what you can to like slow things down, to live a more, you know, like slow, easy living, mindful, intentional, conscious consumerism. You know, if we have to be consumers, which, you know, like we do most
right
of
now
us,
we
like,
do
just be conscious, you know, yeah. Where are you getting your shit from? Is it sustainable? Is it not, you know, is it like hurting the plants and the animals of our planet, you know, just think a little bit, just, you know, and like what feels right for you might not be what feels right for me, you know, but like, you've got to learn that spiritual discernment, you know, like tuning into your truest, highest self. Does this actually feel true for me? Does making a change feel scary? Probably yes, very much. But can I start making small steps, small changes? Of course you can. You know, and those small changes will add up.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the, like this system that we're in, like it harms everyone. It's not just harming women, you know, it's harming everyone. The wounded masculine, the toxic masculine energy is like, it's destroying everyone. And we all need like to embrace that feminine energy of just like, yeah, slowing down. You know, I can see where I want to embrace more of it in my own life. Like a lot of the time we're all go, go, go. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, just slowing down, literally just becoming present. I think if everyone could practice presence, then we'd be, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of where we are now.
And there's like, you don't have to pay. You don't have to like buy a mechanism. You don't have to like take a certification course. Like just all you got to do is like pause.
Just not, you know, not be in your head or in your
not
phone.
Not be a zombie. Not be
just
a zombie.
Be right here.
Right. Even if it's for like 30 seconds, it could totally change the course of your day. You know?
Literally. Yeah, that's how I started a meditation practice, like was 20 seconds of of just being. Yeah, so you can always start small. Amazing. Well, yeah, I feel so fired up talking about all this stuff.
Me too. Let's go change the world.
Let's literally, we need to. Everyone get on board.
Let's go.
If you had like, because everything that we're talking about, you know, slowing down, bringing in the divine feminine, is there anything that you could share for people who maybe this is like a new concept or they just want to bring more of that into their lives, but they're not sure where to begin? Like, what would you practice? What practices would you say?
Begin with food and water. It's something that we all are already doing, you know, so just get more intentional with drinking water. When you drink your water, slow down, think about where the water came from, think about how it's nourishing you, think about any gratitude that you can bring in for it, just slow down a little bit. And then when it comes to eating, eating more mindfully, chewing your food more slowly. If you are someone who stands up when you eat, sit down and have your meal. Sit down and chew your food. Look at the colors on your plate. Appreciate them. Think about where they came from. Think about how that life is bringing life into your own body. Think about where that life came from. It came from the sun. It came from the water. It came from the soil. Think about the hands that and the energy that it took to get that food from the ground or from wherever it came from to your plate. Give thanks for all of those people that, you know, partook in that process. And then also, you know, really tuning into your intuition and what your body is asking for when it comes to being nourished. This is a really simple task. I don't like the word task. This is a really simple exercise activity. If your body is thirsty, then drink water. Simple as that. Like tune in to that, you know, the soul speak, tune in to your body speaking to you and then take action, take inspired action and start to create that dance of, I got you, you got me, we are partners. You know, we are in this together with your soul, with your heart, with your body, as simple as getting water and drinking water. You know, like it doesn't have to be this big, crazy 12-step process. It's simply like, I'm thirsty and I'm going to honor that by drinking some water right now. I'm not going to put it off. I'm going to drink it right now, you know, and it's not to get your like 64 ounces checked off, you know, like don't even pay attention to that. Just drink water because your body says, I'm thirsty, you know, and start there. It's something you're already doing. Maybe not enough, but just do that and see, like, get curious where that's going to take you because it could change your life, you know?
Definitely. I love that. And it's true. It can change your life. It's all, everything you're saying is literally the same beginning steps for healing yourself with Ayurveda, just presence and paying attention to what you're doing with food and drink, with everything. But especially something we're doing multiple times a day, every day anyway, just to keep us alive.
It's not an extra step you have to insert into your day. It's not a thing you have to check off. It's not something you have to like pay extra money for, you know, like you're already doing it. Just do it more mindfully and more presently and with more gratitude.
Yeah, that's the game changer, isn't it? Gratitude. Definitely. Amazing. Well, I always love to ask, you know, before we head out, currently right now, what's one thing or what's your few favorite things of ways to move yourself, like what moves you right now or what's moving your energy right now in a good way?
Drumming. I love drumming so much. So I just have a small little handheld frame drum, which you can get for like $40. And I just love beating the drum and then just letting whatever song, whatever melody I hear move through and opening up my voice and just letting that energy move through. And it's just so powerful and so activating. So that's something that I really love doing right now. Chasing my 1.5-year-old, that definitely moves the energy through. That's a lot of movement. And then also watering and nurturing my plants, I love having my hands in the dirt and talking to my plants and singing to them and watering them and talking to them when I'm watering them and, asking them if they're okay. And, it just brings me a lot of joy right now. And it helps that nurturing energy to move through, and then to see the plants respond. It's just really lovely.
I love that. I'm surrounded by plants right now and I do the same. That's so beautiful. Well, Meg, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you've shared. It's absolutely activating and I'm sure everyone listening will agree.
Well, thank you for having me. I obviously could talk about this stuff all day, so I appreciate the outlet.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And obviously, we didn't talk about, but Meg has her own podcast, Manifest Miracles. So you should definitely check it out and hear her talk more about all these incredible subjects that we could talk about all day long.
Yes, and you'll be a guest soon, so that'll be fun. Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye. Whatever melody I hear move through and opening up my voice and just letting that energy move through. And it's just so powerful and so activating. So that's something that I really love doing right now. Chasing my 1.5-year-old, that definitely moves the energy through. That's a lot of movement. And then also watering and nurturing my plants, I love having my hands in the dirt and talking to my plants and singing to them and watering them and talking to them when I'm watering them and, asking them if they're okay. And, it just brings me a lot of joy right now. And it helps that nurturing energy to move through, and then to see the plants respond. It's just really lovely.
I love that. I'm surrounded by plants right now and I do the same. That's so beautiful. Well, Meg, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you've shared. It's absolutely activating and I'm sure everyone listening would agree.
Well, thank you for having me. I obviously could talk about this stuff all day, so I appreciate the outlet.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And obviously we didn't talk about, but Meg has her own podcast, Manifest Miracles. So you should definitely check it out and hear her talk more about all these incredible subjects that we could talk about all day long.
Yes. And you'll be a guest soon. So that'll be fun. Yes.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love it if you could leave a review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you heard this. To stay connected with me, head to bemovedyoga.com and sign up for my email list. I'm also bemovedyoga on Instagram. Catch up with you soon. Lots of love from Louise.